Penn nearly 20 years ago and debuting off-Broadway just prior to the 9/11 tragedy, Kenneth Lonergan's Lobby Hero is rife with proto-memes of Me Too, Black Lives Matter, police brutality, workplace harassment, bullying, and the millennial urge to save the world without actually doing much about it. It's now open at the Capitol Repertory Theater through October 20th. In the play, Jeff is a blabbermouth. He's not a doorman, he will repeatedly tell you, but a security guard. Your secrets are not safe with him. Just ask William, his superintendent, his captain, whose brother has been accused of a heinous crime, or Bill, the veteran beat cop who has a standing tryst with a fading flower upstairs, or Dawn, the new rookie Bill is preening despite the fact that 3 months into her gig, she's already been called up on assault charges. Kenny Toll, am I saying your name correctly?
You are.
Excellent. Kenny Toll plays Jeff, the self-imagined lobby hero whose mouth just can't stop flapping long enough for his brain to take over. Very different from the actual man playing the role.
Right. A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming that in just the 4 minutes that we've spent together already. Toll originated the role of Mr. Wickham in the Marin County Playhouse premiere of the Wickham's Christmas at Pemberley. And it's a great pleasure to welcome to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So, what has this been like for you? What is this play?
Yeah, this play has it's fun. The cast and I kind of talk like we're back in drama school. It's such a monster of a text. There's so much dialogue. There's so much to unearth from it that we just feel like we're just in the mud wrestling, trying to figure this out to bring it to life for the audience. It's really fun.
So give us a sense of how you came to it and mm-hmm. what it is that draws you to a certain work.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to work with our director, Megan Sandberg-Zakian, last year on that production of The Wickhams.
Yep.
So she, I was in California at the time when they were auditioning. I sent in a video. And that's how I got the part. And the show itself, what draws me to it is it really is something that speaks to our time right now. I think that is incredibly important, especially with the work that I feel like I'm looking for and most of the people I know are looking for is right. This work that speaks to us. And I think that's what this play is doing, even though it's 20 years old.
Now, and I saw it when it was most recently on Broadway, mm-hmm. and it was again. It certainly holds up, and it's beautiful in that regard because it's about relationships, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's about how people react to each other.
Absolutely, yeah. I think what's fun about the show, it all takes place at nighttime,
right.
And our director talks a lot about how. At nighttime, everything feels a little bit closer. The world is kind of shut off behind you, especially in New York. And we're really just sitting with these people. It's almost like we're, you know, we become the fly on the wall for what they're experiencing. And I think it's a vulnerable place for an actor, and it's a very cool place for the audience to sit and witness.
You play the Michael Cera role.
Mm-hmm, I do.
and what do you did you see that production? Just out of curiosity?
I didn't, unfortunately. I wanted to, but I didn't get around to it.
Yeah, and so how much I'm interested in because you alluded to this a moment ago of the conversations that you have with the cast. So what are those conversations like? And what you want to explore, and that really set the tone and give the show context for you as the actors.
Sure. So when we first sit down, we're around the table, kind of analyzing the script, and as we go through, anything that pops up to us, we bring to the table. Nothing's off limits, right? Things that Kenneth Lonergan was writing about 20 years ago that maybe didn't have as much of an impact then. Workplace sexual harassment, these things that are so at the forefront now, we bring up, we talk about, we figure out what's important, what moments do we want to hit, what is easier to let fall to the side. And then, like, once that's all open, we can kind of compact it down and put it on stage. And that's what's so much, I think that's where the joy comes from, that's where the fun comes from. And good writing will give you the chance to constantly do that over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Lonergan's a really good writer. He's a great writer.
Great writer.
Have you ever done a Lonergan play before?
No. When I was auditioning for colleges, I did a monologue from This Is Our Youth, but that's about it.
Yeah. Which is perfect for that age, too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it works. It works wonderfully. And so, what has this give us a sense of when you have you had any like talkbacks or anything with people yet?
Not yet. That,
yeah, you're working on that.
Yeah,
that'll be. Is that fun? Do you enjoy that?
Depends. It really does. I've been in some talkbacks where like you're having real conversations, yeah. And then I've been in talkbacks where they're like, "How do you learn all the lines?" And you're like, "Okay."
Well, I can't promise you anything. When you take on something like this, how long have you been involved? I mean, when did you start?
So I got cast.
How much time has this occupied in your life?
I got cast about 3 months ago. When I found out about it, and then I had a little bit of time to sit with the script and read it. But I'm an actor who likes to get into the room before I'm memorizing. Some people come in, they're fully memorized. That's just not my process.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get in, that's where the work really starts.
What is the advantage to that, do you think?
I think certain actors, if you memorize before you start rehearsing, you start making decisions just based off of the way you're reading it or the way you hear it in your head, which might not be natural with the other actors.
Mm-hmm.
So when you wait and you're working with them, you start to think about the lines differently than you would if you were just reading it on the page. And I think waiting to memorize until that point can be really beneficial to just allowing yourself to naturally exist on stage versus trying to force something.
That makes perfect sense to me. Does it put you in a bind as far as giving you less time to do it?
I don't think so. Only if you aren't doing the work, you know.
Right.
I think if you're, for me, it was
There's no lollygagging.
Yeah, it's a large play. There's a lot of dialogue.
Right.
So
especially for your character.
Yeah, exactly. So I, you know, I sat around with my girlfriend a lot, and we ran the lines.
and then once you're in, then you can feel what the other actors are doing, mm-hmm. and are not that it really matters, but I'm just curious. Were most of the actors in this play have a similar process of waiting to learn when they were in?
Yeah, I think so. We were all pretty surprised that we all worked together in a very similar way, which is exactly that process of waiting, yeah. of exploring, of. We call it, you know, script in hand, where you're up on your feet, you're not fully memorized, but you're still playing.
Right.
And that's our process, and we're all very good at it. So it makes it really easy to rehearse a play and put it together.
And then, now I've heard this described, that, you know, but you never feel like there's enough time.
Mm.
And, oh, we could always use another week. What will we do if there's 2 weeks? What will we do if there's 3 weeks? But do you feel that way, or do you feel, no, we're ready, we're good?
I feel like with this show, we're absolutely ready. So we were up and running 2.5 weeks after rehearsal started, which is so rare.
Yeah,
it
that's
never
insane.
Happens.
Yeah.
But it just kind of naturally got there. And then we started tech, I'm not exactly sure why, but we started tech a little earlier than I think most processes start.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like 5 full runs with costume and lights and everything. Before we even opened, which is usually you get like 1 or 2, you know. So by the time opening night was last night, I felt like we've been running the show for a week, you know. Felt like we opened a week ago.
It's an intimate show because it's almost in hushed tones in a very small area,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of hushed conversation. So it has an ingrained intimacy to it.
It does. I get a really cool experience of I don't ever leave the stage, and the audience is on 3 sides, so I kind of feel like I develop a relationship with each audience every single night.
Yeah.
Because they're responding to different things, they're laughing, some are quiet and they're just listening, and to really just be there and experience it constantly is it's fun.
Because I've heard this described by other actors at Capitol Rep, where you're half of the audience and you're half on stage.
Exactly,
you do feel like you're kind of wallowing there.
Yeah, yeah, they call it's the thrust where you're just pushed out, and you're really there's nowhere to hide.
But that's the exposure of acting, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's being out there and doing what you do.
Absolutely. There's shows I've done where, you know, it's a large theater and you're up in a proscenium stage and the closest audience member is like 15 feet away from you. And it's kind of a weird feeling. You feel very disconnected.
Yeah.
To have something like this where they're right there, I mean, that's the whole reason we do it, you know.
The audience feels disconnected too when that happens.
Yeah, sometimes.
I think so. Yeah, you know, sometimes you feel like I know this is a given the news of the day, it's a odd thing to bring up, but you do feel like there's sometimes a moat between the
yeah, absolutely. Sometimes there is. I mean, sometimes there's like a dip in the ground.
A big orchestra pit. When you think of what's next, what do you? I'm not trying to rush you here, Kenny. But
no,
but like, what do you look for next?
So, you look for it's the work of a journeyman actor. You look for the next job. I have been lucky. I've been in New York for a year and a half. I've been able to do a little bit of traveling, but I moved to New York specifically to really be able to expand into the regional world and do some exciting work. So I hope. I don't know what the next job is, but I hope it comes along soon.
I like that term, journeyman actor. So what are the advantages of that? What's fun about that?
You work with a huge net of people. I was in San Francisco, which is an incredible theater town, but also very, very small.
Yeah.
You're only auditioning for anything that happens within a 15-mile radius. When you come to New York, you open up the entire country. So sure, Broadway and TV and all that stuff is great for any actor, but the reality of what you're going to be doing is traveling around the country, going to these companies, doing new plays, doing classics, and working with amazing people. And that's really what drew me to New York, because at the end of the day, we all just want to do the thing we love to do, and that's, I think, the best way to do it.
And there's great work, so you talk about the journeyman aspect of it, but there's great work being done in these regional theaters.
Oh, absolutely. Work that so Lauren Gunderson, who did The Wickhams,
yes,
is the most produced living American playwright, and she's never been on Broadway, and she's just one of them. I mean, there's so much amazing work that is happening that just doesn't make it to New York, and that's your chance to really go and explore these plays is often outside of New York.
I don't want to simplify this process too much, but it does. But I've heard the story enough to, it seems like there is a trend there where, so you work with a director out on the West Coast,
mm-hmm,
and then they have a job here, and then they think of you, and that's sort of how this works, right?
It does. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's the connections you make.
Yeah. And that's, that's one of the first things you hear from actors when you're first getting into it. It's like, it's all about who you know. But there is truth to it. The advice, if on the rare occasions where I've been able to talk to like apprentices and interns, and they say, what do you do? Be a great person to work with. Make friends with the people that have the same thoughts and ideals as you, and you're going to work with them again. That's the best way to do anything.
You're how far out of college are you?
I graduated in 2011.
Okay, so
yeah.
So you've been out for a while,
mm-hmm.
And it's and is it everything it's cracked up to be?
I love it. I really do. I know it's hard. It's grueling, but the reason I stick with it is because there isn't anything else that I want to be doing, and as long as that's the case, I'll keep doing it.
I think I would be scared to death though if I didn't. If I didn't know, like if there was nothing on the horizon.
I'm constantly scared to death.
Okay.
Yeah. It's but you learn to deal with that. My life in New York is one of the things that I've told myself to help myself through the anxiety of being an actor,
yep,
is to really find the joys in life that don't have anything to do with acting, to separate your self-worth from the fact that if you're not working it for 2 months, that you're still
alive
and you're still an actor and all these things. So like, where does the joy outside of it come from? And I think that's the key.
Yeah. And it's, but is it auditions all the time?
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the better you get at it and the more relaxed you get, which it's funny. I remember an artistic director once told me that directors can smell if you need a job from the moment you walk in, you know? So it's like when you relax, that's when it all starts to click, you know? And it takes time and it takes experience. But
all actors sort of reek of that, don't they?
Oh, yeah, constantly. Even the successful ones.
Absolutely.
You know?
You think of these, and I just thought of this because as you were talking, because you, so many times you'll read a, you'll be looking at a playbill and you say, oh, wow, this guy was on that TV show for a long time. And so, oh, she was great. And then you find out, well, it's been like 9 years since they've done anything. Well, good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, it must be awful.
It's, I have a friend of mine was just on a TV show for, you know, years, and it was great.
And now?
It's been a year and a half, and he's trying to figure out what the next job is.
You know? Yeah. Well, I wish you all the luck in the world. This
Thank
is
you.
A very nice thing to be doing in the meantime. You got work till October 20th, so
hey, I'm happy.
Go for it. Kenneth Lonergan's Lobby Hero is now open at Capitol Repertory Theater through October 20th, capitolrep.org. And Kenny Toll is our guest. Thank you very much. Have a great time.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.